Jason Mackey joins us from Pittsburgh. Jason, the first question, of course, is, do you think, like, I remember reading an article that Evgeny Malkin said, you know, he'd never accept a trade. He wants to stay in Pittsburgh. Do you think the Penguins would ever consider trading him? Do you think it's something they should consider?
You know, in good business practices, I think they should consider just to see what's out there. I don't think they will. And I don't think that's a bad thing either. They're very happy with the core that they're going to build around with Evgeny Malkin, Sidney Crosby, Chris Letang, and Marc-Andre Fleury. I think that they have a lot of work to do, sort of getting the supporting pieces with those guys. But Jim Rutherford spoke today and said as much. I mean, there's just no motive to move any of the core pieces, and I can understand why. Were I running the Penguins, obviously I'm not. I would kind of just look to see what's out there, see what kind of return you could get. I don't think if you're the Penguins, you're going to move Sidney Crosby. Obviously, Evgeny Malkin would be the one that you would move, but I don't know. If you feel that strongly about keeping the core four together, then why look elsewhere?
So, if you look at the Penguins, now obviously their blue line's decimated by injury. When Taylor Chorney has to play 16 and a half minutes a night for you in the playoffs, and no offense to Taylor Chorney, I saw him here in Edmonton, you just, you know, you're going to have a tough time competing. The problem was, you know, the Penguins just couldn't score in that series. Now, I know the Rangers have good defense. How much of that came from just the lack of the forwards creating anything, and how much of it was because maybe the defense, without Mata and without Erhoff and without Letang, just couldn't get the puck up to the forwards?
Yeah, we saw that quite a bit. It's actually more of the latter that you said. Beginning of the season, when the Penguins were healthy, when they had their defense, you could kind of see the system that they were playing. And that was them activating their defense and sort of pinching and taking some chances. And with those guys out, they just can't do that. And, you know, we knew Chris Letang was an important part of the Penguins before this season, but this season kind of just underscored that. It also didn't help that there were some production lapses from some of their top six forwards. David Perron, Chris Kunitz just didn't produce down the stretch the way they, you know, Perron produced early in his Penguins career, and then Kunitz has produced throughout his Penguins career. That was kind of an issue. So it definitely limited them. The injuries on the back line, but the lack of production from some other forwards didn't help either.
We heard, you know, the injuries. Lots of teams play with injuries during the postseason. Now, last year they traded James Neal, you know, bringing in Hornquist and Spalding in the hopes to get more depth. Is that still a glaring issue in Pittsburgh, just forward depth, guys who can be complementary scorers?
Yes, it is. I think that's one of the chief issues they have this offseason is to, and we've heard this a number of years, it's not just this year, but get guys who can play with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. They found one in Patrick Hornquist this year, and maybe they found one in David Perron. We're not quite sure yet, but that is definitely something Jim Rutherford's going to be tasked with. The complexion of this team, I think, is going to change quite a bit in the offseason just by virtue of contract. Christian Erhoff and Paul Martin, they're both RFA or UFAs. They'll be gone. That gets them $9 million. I would expect to invest a decent amount of that into a top six forward or two. So, I do think they need to find somebody, but that being said, they've done that quite a bit so far. They've tried pretty hard to find somebody to play with Evgeny Malkin and Sidney Crosby, and they haven't always connected when they've swung.
Do you think both those defensemen are going to go, or do you think there's any chance that Pittsburgh tries to keep one of them?
What I understand, there's not much interest on either side with Paul Martin, and I just think there's too many question marks with Christian Erhoff. The concussion and the head issues. And, you know, maybe if you were getting Paul Martin for a discounted price, I know that's not going to happen, but I'm just saying that, you know, maybe you try to look at bringing somebody like that back. They need certainty on that blue line. And if that certainty is just letting the young kids play and develop, then fine. Or if it's a veteran you can get cheap, fine. But at this point, Christian Erhoff, based on what we've seen this season, just doesn't offer a lot of certainty to them.
Jason Mackey joins us from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. So he's not coming back. He was on a one-year deal at $4 million. Paul Martin's another one. There's a lot of people in Edmonton. You know, he's a veteran player. I know he's 35 years of age, moves the puck incredibly well. He played almost 25 minutes a night in Pittsburgh. Any idea what type of contract he's looking for?
Not so far. I know that he's going to want, you know, probably three, most definitely 4 years. He's going to want upwards of this $5 million cap hit, and I think he'll get it. I mean, look at what Brooks Orpik and Matt Niskanen got in the offseason. Look what some other guys signed this season. So I don't think there's enough of a shape of kind of what's out there for Paul Martin, but I think it's going to be pretty sizable. I don't know Edmonton's cap restrictions or anything like that, but Paul Martin's definitely going to have some negotiating leverage.
He, I think he was a $5 million cap hit right now. With his age, I'm not sure he can get much more than that, but Brooks Orpik got 5.5, so stranger things have occurred.
Logic kind of goes out the window, right, guys?
Yeah.
You get the free agency and people overpay. I guarantee you somebody will overpay for Paul Martin.
Two defensemen that they acquired late in the season, Ian Cole and Ben Lovejoy, who went back to Pittsburgh, was pretty distraught when he got traded from Anaheim. How did those two look in the playoffs, and how do they fit in long-term, do you think?
Well, Ian Cole certainly looked like the better of the two. He kind of looked like a diamond in the rough, but Jim Rutherford got crushed pretty good for the Simon Dupre, Ben Lovejoy trade for giving up on a young defenseman, Simon Dupre. But in his defense, they brought Ben Lovejoy here to play third pairing minutes, and he wound up playing on their top pairing. And he just kind of got overexposed, and I believe he was on the ice for 8 of 11 goals against in the Rangers series. Ben Lovejoy just wasn't what they expected to get. I do think Lovejoy could have a place here as a third pairing guy, but let me jump back to Ian Cole, and boy, was he a pleasant surprise in that trade. They gave up Bortuzzo, who they really weren't using much at all, Robert Bortuzzo, that is, and Ian Cole has provided, plays kind of a gritty game, can score a little bit, former first-round pick, jumped into the play, seemed to enjoy the system, kind of the up-tempo system that they played. It probably would even be more to his benefit if they play more the way they did at the beginning of the year. But I think Ian Cole is a kid that could really see some minutes here. He's an RFA at the beginning of the year, at the end of the year, and I really wouldn't be surprised if the Penguins made a pitch to keep him and kind of make him part of their long-term plan.
Yeah, they definitely could. I could see that. I had a chance to skate with him a little bit, and he does have that ability as a player. Let's say those two D-men take off. How much do you think Rutherford is gearing towards a mini rebuild? Like, do you think he's going to head into this offseason trying to approach next year with a win-now mentality, or is he going to try to approach it with, you know, let's just build this year, maybe build next year, and then really go at it kind of year three thing?
Well, I think it's going to be a hybrid of all of that, and I do think that's possible. I mean, the mandate for management based on having Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Fleury is to win now. And I think their best method of doing that is to try to get production out of guys they're paying a lot of money. I think that's a good recipe for any team. And you look at guys like Chris Kunitz and Rob Scuderi, you're paying them a large amount of money and you're not getting anything.
Yeah.
Based on their age, you could look at, yeah, that's a win now sort of signing, but at the same time, I don't know. Maybe you let those guys go, you buy them out, and you sink that money into somebody else. I could also see that being a win-now thing. So I think they have a lot of questions as far as player evaluation this offseason. They need to kind of look at who they prioritize, whether they think they're going to get anything out of Scuderi, get anything out of Kunitz, and I think that'll dictate it too.
Looking at their contract situation, up front, they got a lot of guys UFA. Steve Downey, Craig Adams, Blake Como, LaPerriere, Daniel Winnick. You know, guys who are all only making anywhere between $700,000 to $1.3 million. So definitely not big cap hits by any stretch. Which one of those guys, and Bo Bennett's an RFA, which ones do you think are on the top of the list of who they'd like to bring back?
I think Blake Como would be up there. Definitely a very friendly cap. I think it was $700,000, $750,000, something like that. But they really do value him as a guy who can play quality bottom 6 minutes. He got thrust into a greater role this season because of injuries. But I think they could definitely make a pitch to get Blake Como back. LaPierre is interesting. I think some of that hinges on what they're able to do with Brandon Sutter. They have a prospect named Oscar Sundqvist, Swedish kid. If he develops the way they want to, he might be their third or fourth line center, so there might not be a need. I think some of that depends on that. I don't think they'll make a pitch to sign Downey. I really don't. I think his style of play, there were some knocks on his speed and then third period penalties, and just penalties in general that didn't fit well with management. So if I had to say one guy that stuck out above all the rest, I'd probably go with Como.
Okay. Now, interesting how you mentioned Steve Downey. Well, the third period penalty, so still undisciplined in his play. What about Bo Bennett? You know, there's a lot of people that are expecting more from him. He was a healthy scratch at key times down the stretch for the Penguins. What went wrong in his game?
Yeah, it was interesting. Jim Rutherford talked about that today in his season wrap-up news conference and actually put it on himself. said that they screwed up the development of Bo Bennett, that they kind of rushed him to play big-time minutes before he was ready, and they should have let him play in Wilkes-Barre and just play and develop, and they didn't do it, and kind of tried to use him at the NHL level before they felt like he was all the way there. So it's been a crazy year for Bo Bennett. He's had good times, good games, and other times he's just looked completely lost, not physical, doesn't go in the corners, doesn't go in front of the net, and it's just a liability in his own end. So which Bo Bennett is real, I have no idea. But it has certainly been interesting. There is some talent there. I mean, you see him when he's going well, and it's incredible, but he also has a long way to go. So it will be interesting to see this offseason and then this season coming up, just kind of what they do with Bo Bennett. I'm not convinced they don't try to throw him into a trade and sort of package him with somebody else, but that's not what Jim Rutherford said today.
Jason, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. And should be an interesting offseason in Pittsburgh. I know Rutherford came out and said he's not trading Malkin. That just came out today. He's not going to trade him. He's going to look to build him around, like you said. But some significant moves likely coming on the back end and up front.
Yeah, it's like Jim said, and you know, we've been reporting it for some time, that the core four will be intact. Everybody else could very well change. You know, obviously, Olimata is going to come back. They're not going to get rid of him. And just a few more guys here and there, but there will be some significant personnel changes here in Pittsburgh.
Appreciate your time, Jason.
All right. Thanks, guys.